Well, go ahead and take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Galatians. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 today. We're continuing to look at our series on Paul's letter to the Galatians titled Free in Christ. And we've talked about how throughout this letter, Paul has been seeking to show a group of churches that he founded that we really are free in Christ, that we really have been given grace we don't deserve, that we really have been justified and made right with God. And because of that, we can live our lives in complete freedom, knowing that we are loved by God, knowing that it is His grace that transforms us from the inside out, and knowing that we are held secure forever in the grace that He gives. We truly are free in Christ. We don't have to earn God's love through legalism. We don't have to fear that love being taken away whenever we fail or fall, because we all will. We are free in the knowledge that we are loved by God eternally. And this is the message that Paul has been telling us in the book of Galatians so far. Now, as we've looked throughout chapters 1 and 2, what we've seen is that Paul has used a lot of his own experience to get this argument across. He has told the Galatians his own story. He has talked about how he came to faith in Christ through the gospel, how he once tried to live a life of legalism and tried to earn God's love and tried to find his own righteousness, but that path failed. It just simply didn't work. And when Paul encountered the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave, his life was forever changed. And so he shared a lot of his own story, how he came to faith in Christ, how the gospel of Christ helped bring differing Christians together to continue the work of the gospel, and how the gospel overcame different obstacles and different struggles throughout his life and throughout his ministry. And so Paul has been sharing a lot about his own journey and his own struggles and his own triumphs and how the gospel has influenced his life. But today in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul is going to tell the Galatians to look at their own experience. How has the gospel impacted you? What does it mean when you came to your faith in Jesus Christ? And I think this is an important exercise for us as well. It's important for us to remember what it means to be a Christian, to look back at our own experience, to look at the way that God has worked in my life, the way that God has worked in your life, how we first became Christians, how Christ's grace has been faithful to us throughout the years. It is important for us to look at our own story, to look at our own experience of how the gospel has changed us. And one of the ways that Paul is going to get the Galatians to look back at their own faith and to be a little bit introspective is he's going to ask them a lot of questions. And he's going to kind of barrage them with questions to get them thinking about the way that God has been working in their lives. There's a scholar by the name of G. Walter Hansen, and G. Walter Hansen said that questions are the way to start breaking the grip of illusion. Now, we can all deceive ourselves, can't we? And we can all live a lie at times, but when we start to question those actions, when we allow the Holy Spirit to question those actions, when we allow Scripture to question those actions, we can break that grip of slavery in our own lives. I can remember there were several years back, I had a group of Jehovah's Witnesses come by my house. That ever happened to you guys? And I'm one of those crazy people that say, come on in, let's have a cup of coffee. And we sit down at the table and we have a discussion. And I can remember when I had this group of Jehovah's Witnesses sitting with me, I knew when they got around that table, I was not going to argue them into Christianity in the matter of an hour. That was not going to happen. So I began to pray and I said, God, help me to ask the right questions. Help me to poke holes in what they believe, just to get them thinking about the truth of Jesus Christ. It's questions that can oftentimes break the grip of illusion in our own lives. And so that's what Paul is going to talk about today. Remember, he is speaking to a group of Christians who at one time believed in the grace of Christ and trusted in the grace of Christ, but somewhere along the line, they began to live a life of legalism, live a life of works righteousness, trying to earn their way to God. And so Paul is going to ask them questions to bring them back to the truth of the gospel. And the main question he's going to ask, if I was summarizing all of this, would be this. Paul is going to ask, does the Holy Spirit work in your life because of faith or because of your own works? That's the question that Paul wants the Galatians to realize this morning. So let's go ahead and read Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll pray and ask God to guide us into his word. Now notice, Paul is a little bit angry in this section. And so he's going to use some words that are even a little bit derogatory because the truth of the gospel is at place and he wants to shake the Galatian Christians into being awake to the truth of the gospel. So Paul begins in chapter 3, verse 1 by this, "You foolish Galatians." I love how the Message kind of paraphrases this. If you've ever read the Message, it says, "You crazy Galatians, what are you doing? Why are you acting this way? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" Let's pray and ask God to guide us into His Word. Father, we just thank you so much for the freedom that you give us in Christ. Thank you so much for the grace that you give. Thank you so much for the hope that you give. And Father, help us to continually live in that freedom and that hope. May we never get trapped by legalism or hedonism and living our own selfish desires. May we always find the freedom that is in Christ. But Father, we all know that at times we get off track and we begin to live life our own way and we begin to follow our own way of thinking. And so, Father, I just pray that as we look at this passage today, that we would be introspective, that we would ask ourselves questions, that we would allow the truth of the gospel to penetrate our lives and to make us new today. Father, if there's somebody here who has never come to a saving faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray they would put their trust in you this morning. Father, if there are people here who are Christians, but maybe who have just got off track and are kind of stuck in legalism or are not living in the freedom that you give, Father, I pray that you would just open our eyes this morning and speak to us anew. Thank you so much for your scripture. Thank you so much that the gospel is not just something we believe, but it's a living, active reality in the world today that seeks to transform us and make us more like Jesus. And so we ask, Father, that you would transform us today, that you would speak to us mightily through your word. We love you. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Now, you may have noticed in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, that Paul talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. In fact, I think he uses the phrase Holy Spirit at least four times in these couple of verses. And up to this point in the book of Galatians, Paul has not talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. But from this point on to the end of Galatians, the Holy Spirit becomes very, very important in the argument of Paul. So let's kind of talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Later on in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible will say, Paul will say that it is the Holy Spirit who makes us sons and daughters of God. The Holy Spirit makes us part of God's family. It's through the Holy Spirit living in us that we can cry out to God as Abba, Father. We can have this intimate relationship with God because of the Holy Spirit. Then later on in chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, Paul will go on to say that since we are children of God, we can walk by the Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit. We can live life the way that He intends us to live. And it's only by doing that that we defeat the sin and the evil that resides in our own lives. And I really love this because up to this point, the Galatians had probably been thinking, man, if I can just follow enough laws, if I can follow enough rules, if I can be good enough, then I can defeat sin in my life. And Paul says, you've got it all backwards. We need a Savior. We need somebody from the outside coming inside of us to defeat sin from the inside out. We need the Holy Spirit to defeat the sin within us. And then later on in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, Paul gives this famous list of something he calls the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit makes us children of God and defeats sin in our lives, it produces certain fruits. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so from this point on in the book of Galatians, Paul is going to emphasize that it's not by works of the law, it's not by our own effort, it's not by our own knowledge, it is only through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we can be the people that God desires us to be. It's in the Spirit where we have true freedom. And let's talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit for just a moment. Who is the Holy Spirit? We as Christians believe there is one God who exists in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we believe that when a believer puts their faith in Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and makes us new and makes us free and gifts us for service and transforms us from the inside out. And I'm here to tell you today that the same Holy Spirit who lived in Paul 2,000 years ago, the same Holy Spirit who was at work in the Galatians' life, is still at work in all of our lives today. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian can live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has a personal, intimate relationship with God because the Holy Spirit makes us His sons and His daughters. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And so in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul is going to ask the Galatians a lot of questions about the Holy Spirit. He's going to make them think about how they first came in contact with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit worked in their lives. And what I've done is I've kind of summarized Paul's questions and put them in the language that we might use today. And so let's look at some of these questions that Paul is going to ask to make the Galatians think about how the Holy Spirit works in their lives. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, Paul asked the Galatians, how did you guys become Christians in the first place? Go back to that initial experience. How did you guys become Christians in the first place? So look back at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3 with me. Paul says, you foolish Galatians. Now remember, Paul is upset. He is flabbergasted. He cannot understand why the Galatians have got it so backwards at this point. This corresponds to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, guys, I'm just astonished. I don't understand how you've got it wrong. I taught you about grace. I taught you about freedom. Why have you gone back to this old way of thinking? So that's why he says, you foolish Galatians. And then he goes on and he says, you know, who has bewitched you? And I love that term, bewitch. That's the only time in the New Testament where Paul uses this particular Greek word. And it's almost like Paul was saying, you know, guys, who's put a spell over you? Who has hypnotized you? That's the only thing I can think might have happened to make you leave the freedom of the grace of Christ. It must be a spell. It must be some kind of hypnotic act that has taken place. I just can't understand, because he says, you guys, you know the truth of the gospel. What is the truth of the gospel? Paul goes on, he says, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. That word clearly portrayed in the Greek is really, really interesting. It was used of advertisements in the first century. If you wanted to advertise something, you might go to the city square and you would put up a big plaster. You would put up a billboard, if you will, and you would publicly announce that something was going to happen. You know, when we drive down the road and see billboards, it's a very visible sign of something trying to be sold, or maybe you see traffic signs. It's a very visible picture of which way you should or should not go. And Paul says, guys, that's how I preach Jesus to you. You guys know beyond a shadow of doubt, it has been plastered on the town square, it has been put up like a billboard, that Jesus Christ was crucified and died for you and I. Not because of how good we are, but because of how good God is. He says, this is the truth. So I don't understand how you guys have gone back to this old way of thinking. Then Paul asks the question in verse 2, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you have heard? So here's the heart of the issue. Paul asked the Galatians to look back at how they first started their walk with Christ, how they first experienced the Holy Spirit. He says, guys, did you experience the Holy Spirit because of how good you are or because you believed in how good God is? And what a great question for us to ask as well. It's very easy for us, I think, 2,000 years later to look back at the Galatians and go, God, guys, how did you get that wrong? I just can't believe these Galatians. How did you mess that up? But don't we do the exact same thing? We know the truth of the gospel. We know that Jesus died simply because He loves us. We know that we cannot earn the love of God, and yet for some reason, sometimes we still try to earn God's love. And we still try to be good enough. And we still try to follow our own passions and our own plans. And we get stuck in this pathway of legalism and shame and guilt and doubt. And we're just like the Galatians. Scholar R. Allen Cole says the Galatians are really just everybody. It's all of us. So what is one way we can correct this misunderstanding? All of us need to look back at how we first became Christians. Man, I remember that night clearly. I can't remember exactly which day it was. I think it was sometime in January 1995, but I can remember I was like 10 or 11 years old, and I came to an understanding that night, man, I need Jesus. And when I put my faith in Jesus, it was like a weight was lifted off my chest. Did anybody else have an experience like that? Remembering that freedom, remembering that peace, remembering that joy. Guys, that's how we first received the Holy Spirit. Not because we were good, not because we were smart enough, not because we had the right pedigree, not because we went to church enough, not because we looked pretty enough, but simply because God is a God of love and He loves us and He gives us the Holy Spirit. And so when we get stuck in this pathway of legalism and shame and guilt and doubt, let's go back and remember how we first came to Christ and remember the sweet love that He gives us. That's what Paul wanted the Galatians to do in chapters 3, verses 1 and 2. Now in verse 3, Paul is going to ask the Galatians another question. He's going to say, so you came to faith in Christ, and that's how you received the Holy Spirit, so how do you continue in your walk with Christ? Who continues to give you the strength to keep going? Look at verse 3. Verse 3, Paul says, are you so foolish? Listen, he's upset. He can just not understand what's going on. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? In the book of Galatians, Paul will often compare and contrast living in the Spirit and living in the flesh. There are two different ways of living life. Living in the Spirit means that we live in the freedom that Christ has provided. We follow His guidance. We follow His leadership. We try to live like Jesus Christ. We allow Him to work in our lives. And living by the flesh is the exact opposite of that. Let's talk about that word flesh for just a moment. Many times when Paul uses the word flesh in Scripture, he's not referring to this. He's not referring to the physical body. He's referring to living in a way that is opposed to the Spirit of God. I love how some translations put this. The older New International Version translates this, living by human effort. It's living by your own strength and your own power. The flesh could also be described as the place where sin resides. It's that place inside of us where sin still has a grip and still flows and moves in our being. The flesh is any way of living life that is opposed to the Spirit of God. When we try to earn God's love through legalism, when we try to follow all the rules and dot every I and cross every T and try to make ourselves look good and try to be moral people to earn God's love, that is living by the flesh. That is living a way that is opposed to the Spirit of God. When we live life completely by our own desires, just following after our passions, following after our sins, giving into our own desires, that is living by the flesh. That is living in a way opposed to the Spirit of God. And so Paul says, listen, guys, you began with the Spirit. You continue with the Spirit. You will one day be made perfect by the Spirit. Dance with the one that brung you. Don't change the way of doing things right in the middle of doing things. If something is working, keep doing it. Live by the Spirit. Now, yesterday, I went fishing. And if you guys follow me on Facebook, you saw this. I went fishing. My Angela and I, we went out fishing. We went out with Brandon McDonald. Brandon did a great job. And Brandon had this technique, and he knew it would work. And we went out, and we did this technique, and we consistently caught fish. Now, Angela consistently caught more and bigger than me, but that's beside the point, all right? That's not really how it should have worked, but, you know, that, you know, I'm gracious in that way and let those things happen at times, so, yeah, exactly, I'm a gracious guy, Carolyn, you know how that works, so, all right. But imagine if we had been catching fish and moving along and I'd went to Brandon and said, hey, Brandon, I got an idea. Let's change what's working. I know this lure. And I'm going to use this lure. And yeah, we've been catching fish, but I really want to use this lure. And Brandon might say, well, why would you want to use that lure? Well, I know a guy who used it his whole life, and he never caught nothing. And Brandon would look at me and go, what? But I've got a time-tested technique. It's catching fish. It's what's working. Why would we change what's working in the middle of the battle? That's what Paul is saying here. Guys, you started with the Spirit. You have continued by the Spirit. Why did you change? Why did you change what is working? And it's almost like the Galatians looked at Paul and say, listen, it's because, you know, this legalism thing and trying to earn God's love, I know it doesn't work, but I just really want to do it. It doesn't make any sense. And so Paul says, who gives you the strength to continue in your walk with Christ? We begin by the Spirit. We continue with the Spirit. We are perfected by the Spirit. Let's dance with the one that brung us. Let's live in the Spirit. In verses 4 and 5, Paul is going to ask another series of questions, and I might sum it up this way. Paul is going to say, guys, how does God keep working in your life? You've seen God work in your life, so how exactly did that take place? Verse 4, Paul said, have you experienced so much in vain? And that word experience can also be translated suffered. Have you experienced so much of the Christian life? Have you suffered so much in the Christian life? And is it all for nothing? And if you go back to Acts chapter 14, you can read about how when Paul founded the churches in Galatia, man, they did experience suffering. They did experience persecution. They did experience the work of the Spirit. And so Paul is calling them back to say, guys, how did that experience take place? How does God work in your life? He goes on in verse 5, and he says, so again I ask, does God give you, does God continually, abundantly supply to you his Spirit and continually, abundantly supply to you works of miracles among you? And does he do this by works of the law or by believing what you have heard? Guys, God is always constantly working in our lives. And how does he do that? Does he work in our lives because we are good enough? Does he work in our lives because we follow the right rules? Does he work in our lives because we are moral and legal and do everything right? Or does he work in our lives through faith? And so Paul is asking us to be introspective and to look at ourselves and to look at how the Spirit works within us. As I've looked back over my life, especially over the last year and a half, I have just been overwhelmed by the sovereignty of God, God's plan, God's purpose that at times I could not see, and yet he was constantly working, even when I didn't know he was working. He was constantly molding, and God brought people into my life at just the right time to encourage me and give me strength. And God brought you into my life at just the right time to encourage me and give me strength. And man, I can think back over this past year and a half, and I can think of times where I just didn't feel like going on anymore, and yet somebody would pray for me, and it would lift me up, and the Spirit would work in my life. And I'm here to tell you that all of that happened not because I'm good, not because I'm smart, not because my life is together, not because I know it all, not because I'm a legalist, not because I'm the most moral. It happens simply through faith. Simply because our God is good. Simply because our God is a God of grace. Simply because he is a God who abundantly supplies the work of the Holy Spirit and abundantly works the miraculous into our lives. And so we can't go back to legalism. We can't go back to doing life our own way. We need to remember that the Spirit's presence in our lives is a gift from God. It has absolutely nothing to do with my own effort, my own ability, and my own power. That is good news. That is freedom in Christ. That is the gospel. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? So I want to ask many of you those same questions this morning. How did you first come to faith in Christ? Who gives you strength to carry on in your daily life? How has God worked in your life today? Is it because we're good enough or is it because of faith? We know the answer. It's because of faith. It's because our God is gracious. And so spend some time right now praying to him and praising him for being a gracious God. Maybe you're like me and you at times struggle with legalism and trying to earn God's love and trying to be all put together. Maybe you have a different struggle. Maybe you struggle with following your own passions and your own desires and doing life your own way. Would you just come to Christ this morning and submit that to him this morning and say, Jesus, help me to live by grace. Help me to live by faith. Help me to live by the work of your Holy Spirit in my life, not in what I can do, not in what I can accomplish, but only in what you can do. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you've talked, heard me talk about freedom in Christ and the good news of the gospel and God loving us, and you just have questions about what that means. You mean God loves me, but I've done this and I've done that and I've made this mistake and I've failed here, and it's irrelevant. God's love is greater than any sin. And so if you are here this morning and you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, would you do that this morning? Would you go to him in prayer and say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. And I ask you to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. And the Bible says if you would go to Jesus with a simple prayer of faith like that, that you are saved. You are given the Holy Spirit of God. You are given freedom. You are given forgiveness. And it doesn't mean life will be perfect. It doesn't mean there will never be struggle. It doesn't mean things will always be easy. But it does mean that you are just surrounded by the love of God. No matter what you go through, no matter what you experience, God's love will never leave you or never forsake you. You are free in Christ. And so if you would like to make that decision to follow Jesus this morning, do it now. Go to him in prayer right now. Every head is going to be bowed. Every eye is going to be closed. If you want to come to the front and have me pray with you, I would be glad to do that. If you want to lean over and talk with the Christian that you came with, man, do that. But tell somebody this morning that you need to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Don't leave this place without getting that settled. Make a decision to follow Jesus this morning. Man, let's live in freedom. I am so tired of beating myself up over past mistakes, and I am so tired of beating myself up when I fall in the present, because that's not what Christ has called us to do. We are called to live in his freedom and be transformed by his grace and know that no matter what happens, we are loved by him. You Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you need to come to the front and pray with me about making a decision to follow Jesus, do that now. If you just want to sit where you are and just praise Jesus for the grace that he gives, do that right now. But just know, no matter what you feel, no matter what you think, if you are a Christian, you are free in Christ. It is a living, breathing reality. Know you are loved today. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Nate is going to continue to play for a few more moments. I'll be here at the front if you need to pray with me. Let God's Spirit work in your life today. I know there must be people here this morning who have given their life to Jesus Christ. But man, you're like me and you just struggle and you get caught up in trying to earn God's love and forgetting about that freedom and that grace that you were given. So I just want to spend some time just praying for you right now. So let me just pray. Father, thank you so much for the good news of the gospel. Thank you so much for just the clarity of Scripture. Thank you so much for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for continuing to strengthen us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for working in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Father, help us this morning to live in that freedom, to know that no matter what we do or what's done to us or what we experience, that we are always loved by you. Father, I just pray that when we are tempted to doubt that, that when we are tempted to just try to be legalistic or to follow our own desires, that we would always be brought back to the fact that we are loved by you, that that is the best reality that we can live in. That is the only reality. And so, Father, for those here this morning who, like me, get caught up in legalism and caught up in doubt and caught up in fear, Father, I just pray that you would free us, that you would help us to rest in that freedom that you have already given. Remind us, overwhelm us with your love, God. As we read the scriptures, speak to us. As we pray to you, speak to us. As we fellowship with other Christians, just speak to us and remind us of the great love that you give. Thank you for loving us. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said. Now at this time, we're going to go ahead and have our gentlemen come forward for the offering. Don Myers, would you pray for us?